morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM. Today's Monday, March 2nd, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Animal rights activists plan a protest today against the killing of sea lions.
As the housing market collapses, trees are worth more standing than rolling down the highway on the back of a log truck.
And back east in Washington, D.C., a huge demonstration is going on right now on climate change.
Portland area weather, despite evidence to the contrary, showers today, highs in the 50s. Tonight, more showers, snow below pass levels, windy in the gorge, and lows 35 to 45.
And first we go to regional news from around Cascadia. Well, the trapping begins today. Yes, despite all the evidence to the contrary, the state has decided that sea lions are responsible for the diminishing salmon runs. Not dams, not habitat destruction, not pollution, not human overpopulation, but sea lions. Joining us this morning is Matt Rozell with In Defense of Animals. Good morning, Matt, and thanks for being with us today.
Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, talk a little bit about what's going on today, the action. That there is an action today, I understand.
Yeah, we're actually moments away from going out to the Bonneville Dam. We're going to confront those officials that have made this really misguided plan to kill up to 85 sea lions a year for the next 5 years for doing what? For eating. And we're going to be having a loud protest and demanding some answers.
How I fail to understand the reasoning. For millennia, salmon and sea lions have evolved, co-evolved together. Salmon, sea lions, the rivers themselves, all the rest of the living things, plants and animals, and for that matter, native original people, have all co-evolved together. Why all of a sudden are they claiming that sea lions are responsible for the diminishing salmon runs?
Well, that's exactly right. The sea lions are being scapegoated. The sea lions take, even by government estimates, as little as or even less than 4% of the spring run. And that, for them to get around the Marine Mammal Protection Act, which actually these sea lions, California sea lions, are protected species, they had to jump through the hoops of Section 120, which I don't think they have successfully done. That requires that they prove that the sea lions are making a significant impact on the salmon population. So they're saying that 4% that the sea lions eat is a significant impact. At the same time, these same agencies are allowing fishermen, the commercial fishermen and others, to take 13% of the wild salmon, and they're calling that an insignificant impact. So it just doesn't add up. They clearly are. It has more to do with politics and lobbying pressure than it has to do with biology. And they're really scapegoating these sea lions when, what, as you've clearly said, it's the dams and overfishing and habitat loss that's really demised the salmon.
But, of course, those are the nasty little secrets that they don't want to talk about. They're not really secrets, of course, we all know, but it's the elephant in the room, to use another god-awful cliche. Well, anyway, thank you so much, Matt. That, of course, was Matt Rozell with In Defense of Animals. One more time, really quickly, Matt, tell the action that's going on today, when and where.
Well, at noon, there's going to be a protest on the Washington side of the Columbia River at the Bonneville Dam. And if people can't get involved today, please get in touch with our organization because it's going to be an ongoing campaign. Our phone number is 503-249-9996.
Thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you.
Traditional foods are so important to the Umatilla, Walla Walla, and Cayuse tribes that they've centered their entire land management strategy on protecting them. The Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation have adopted a plan for the rugged 178,000 acres. It aims to save the first foods, salmon, wild game, roots, berries, and clear, pure water.
And meanwhile, back at the ranch, the number one invasive species, people, have taken in Ashland, have taken a completely different path. Fast food sales are increasing in Ashland, while restaurant dining falls with the economy. Aside from health issues, this means that small local businesses are suffering while corporate interests are once again capitalizing on poverty.
Oregon State University researchers say that soybeans are a potentially valuable new crop for the Pacific Northwest, especially in Malheur County in eastern Oregon. Researchers came up with a list of all the benefits of soybean agribusiness, right? And more than 90% of the soybeans in America are genetically engineered. Here comes Monsanto.
This is clearly beyond being genetically engineered, this is politically engineered. Monsanto will definitely have us in its grip shortly if nothing is done to give people a heads up and say maybe this is a bad idea. The Lewis and Clark National Historical Park plans to restore the 33-acre Otter Point area to a tidal wetland, requiring about 300 pounds of native grass seed. So much seed is needed for the restoration project that the National Park Service began looking for seeds from local plants along the Lewis and Clark River a year ago.
The BLM has transferred a 640-acre parcel of juniper and sagebrush-covered land south of Prineville to the state of Oregon. The Juniper Canyon parcel is the latest transfer from the federal government to the state. A federal court ruled in 1991 that the BLM owed Oregon about 5,200 acres of land the state should have received in 1859. Oregon Department of State lands officials say the BLM has now transferred about 3,600 acres to the state, 1,600 acres to go.
Just 1,600 more. Plans are in the works to decommission up to 20 miles of roads and about the same amount of trails this year along the Hellgate Recreation section of the Rogue River. Access to the popular stretch of river would remain when the erosion-causing roads and trails are removed. Some of the roads, in fact, will be converted to formal hiking trails.
The global oil company, BP West Coast Products, has made an offer on the Linton Plywood Association. The match isn't quite what many Linton residents had in mind for the mill site, but neighborhood leaders aren't objecting to the union. Adjacent to the mill is Portland Harbor, which is on the federal Superfund list of the nation's most dangerous toxic waste sites.
Right, so what the hell? What's a little more oil pollution? And I love the name also, VP West Coast Product. It sounds so innocuous. It doesn't say gigantic multinational oil company moving to Linton. The timber market on the North Coast has deteriorated to the point where industry experts say they don't even know how much a log is worth anymore. How can you put a price on something nobody wants? The depressed housing market has stunted demand for timber, leaving just a trickle of business for local sawmills and little reason for loggers to harvest additional timber in Clatsop County anyway. I imagine they'll do it anyhow. That's pretty much a given. Unless and until we value vertical forests more than we value the horizontal ones.
Oregon and a coalition of 18 states and cities have won a federal appeals court ruling in a challenge against the Environmental Protection Agency over air pollution standards. The EPA will now have to issue a tougher standard at a level that provides an adequate margin of safety to protect public health.
That really is a stunner when you think how many times organizations have to sue federal agencies charged with protecting our air, our water, our land, with protecting them, and we have to go out and sue these agencies for not doing their jobs when we're paying them to do it. And finally, this from local news. Increasingly, across the nation, and especially here in the West, women are running farms. Women are listed as the principal operators on about 14% of all U.S. farms as of 2007. That number has grown 30% since the 2002 census. In Cascadia, women are even more likely to be the principal farm operator, with nearly one in five farms in the four-state region of California, Idaho, Oregon, and Washington controlled by a female farmer. More than half of all farms in those four states have a woman as one of the top three operators.
Before we move on to Spencer Raymond and national news, according to a poll released yesterday, Muslims in America have a much more positive outlook on life than their counterparts in most predominantly Muslim countries and some other Western societies. The Gallup Organization study found Muslim Americans to be racially and ideologically diverse, extremely religious, and younger and more highly educated than the other Americans.
Of course, I guess it doesn't take much to be more highly educated than other Americans, but nonetheless, it's good news. And now, we move on to D.C. Dirt with KBOO's Spencer Raymond. Spencer, good morning. We had a sudden change about face and change of direction, but it is important to talk about this in Washington, D.C. today, just blocks away from Capitol Hill. There is a demonstration, something like 12,000 is the official number. It's probably more. College and high school students have traveled all across the country. This is the second now Power Shift Conference. It's a meeting of students and administrators, and the discussion is around taking leadership roles and confronting climate change. Spencer, what's going on right now? Do you know of any news from the Capitol?
Well, just as you said, Chris, they're demonstrating. They're trying to tell leaders in Washington, look, this environment issue is something that we as students are going to have to live with. We are the next generation, and what they're saying is they're going to have to live with this environment, and they want leaders to take the environment seriously. Already with the Obama administration, there's been new EPA guidelines set forth, but this demonstration today in Washington is really to draw attention to that.
Yeah, so apparently this is Energy Action. It's a coalition of 50 environmental groups organized by the Power Shift Weekend Conference. So for 3 days, students attended all kinds of workshops and organizing groups, direct action, and on a really wide range of topics. That people came from all across the country, all 50 states. Native American communities were represented. And as I understand it right now, we did try to get someone who was actually there on the scene to join us this morning, but it appeared that phone lines were blocked. We weren't able to reach our reporter there on the scene. So we know that it's probably getting it's heating up. I believe that if listeners want to follow the action in D.C., they might try D.C. Indie Media. And, of course, this evening on the KBOO Evening News, we expect by that time we'll get our phone lines straightened out and be able to bring listeners a full report on the events of the day. We should also note, too, that there's a tremendous blizzard battering the East Coast right now. And the students still are intent on taking the Capitol. I think it's wonderful. Apparently, it's considered the largest ever lobby day on climate change and energy. Spencer, do you see this in any way affecting the direction that the Obama administration is taking on climate change?
Well, Obama already, I mean, he's been, you know, as a Democrat, he's been positive on the environmental front from the get-go. And, you know, there was a little bit of pro-environment spending with the most recent stimulus package, but what this, you know, demonstration goes to show you is that people are not happy with simply that, and they're going to be encouraging lawmakers to be more serious about this environment thing. And now is the time, because Obama, you know, he has the direction, he has the pull with the Senate and House with him right now to get these sort of things done.
Yep. So apparently, too, we have also NASA's James Hansen warning that the only way to mitigate climate change is to completely stop burning coal to make electricity. If we don't do that, we're in serious trouble. Getting it done is another thing entirely. Thank you so much. That, of course, is KBOO Spencer Raymond bringing us DC Dirt, as he does every week today on Air Cascadia. Liam?
Struggling insurer American International Group will receive up to $30 billion in additional federal assistance, the fourth government rescue of the company. The company was once the world's largest insurer. It's expected to announce $60 billion in quarterly losses today. I wish I was too big to fail.
Right. And, of course, people listen to that and, you know, have another latte. And then get themselves all worked up about Iran. Actually, the failure of AIG is a far, far more serious threat to the United States than anything that Iran might be up to, or North Korea for that matter. And finally, this, of course, Defense Secretary Robert Gates said yesterday that Iran is not even close to having a nuclear weapon. This gives the United States and others time to try to persuade Tehran to abandon its suspected atomic arms program. Gates told Meet the Press, quote, "They're not close to a stockpile. They're not close to a weapon at this point. So there is some time. Maybe some time on Iran, but not much more time on saving the economy."
This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Monday, March 2nd, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Steve Nassar. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio station at 90.7 FM. Your support, and your support only, keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, If You Love This Planet, Dr. Helen Caldicott interviews Dr. Marcia Angle about drug companies.
Thanks for listening, and have a good day.